Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is the gospel lesson which we shared together. Rejoicing in the lost and found department. Have any of you ever lost anything? We tend to lose things, misplace things around the house. But when we're away and we lose something, it causes us a little bit of anxiety, doesn't it? Particularly if it happens to be our keys or our purse or our wallet or something very important. I remember in my school days, the office had a lost and found box. It was a rather large box. Beginning of the year, it was empty. By the first week of school, there were a few items. And by the end of the year, there was this heaping box of things that had been lost. Undoubtedly, parents had asked children, "Where's your hat?" or "Where are your gloves?" "Where are your tennis shoes?" And the child probably said, "Well, I lost them." And the parents probably urged them, "Go to the lost and found and claim them." There's that mound of stuff that's been lost and waiting to be claimed. And nobody comes to claim it. So what happens to that box of stuff? Well, inevitably, one of the secretaries took the stuff home, washed the mittens and gloves and scarves that had collected over the winter, and donated them to Goodwill or the Mitten Tree the following year. Undoubtedly, there was somebody who said, "Hey, I used to have a pair of mittens just like these." But they had gone unclaimed. What a sad place to end up in the lost and found. In the Christmas story, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there's the island of misfit toys, where there's the polka-dotted elephant, there's the jack-in-the-box that had his smile painted upside down, and they're all left there. Forgotten. Lost and found is a place of forgotten and left behind things, isn't it? Sometimes misfit. Who wants one glove? Or a stocking cap that's way too big? One congregation I was in, a lady came for a funeral and hung up a very nice lady's three-quarter length, I call it London Fog. I don't know if they make women's coats, but it was one of those nice, pricey women's coats. There was no name in it, and it hung there for over a year, unclaimed. It's sad to be left behind and lost and forgotten. How many of you have ever been lost? As a child, maybe you were lost at the mall. Some of us fellows won't admit it, but we've been lost driving. And our wives have urged us, pull in at the next gas station and ask for direction. Which we rather reluctantly do after about the sixth or seventh or eighth plea. And the tenth time we've been around the same corner, the same block, and everything's looking familiar to us. We can even be lost in very familiar surroundings, can't we? We hear about it on the news, we read about it in the newspaper, about individuals who are out hunting in familiar surroundings, and suddenly they become lost. They become disoriented. And they're lost. We find the pickup truck, or we find the ATV, or we find the deer stand where they had been with all kinds of things left behind, but no person. And then sometimes, thankfully, they're found alive and well, only to be discovered sometimes hundreds of miles away from where they were supposed to be. Or an individual hops in the car to go to the local grocery store, a travel route that they've done a number of times, and they don't get home. And the family calls the police, say they're missing. They've been gone for 6 hours on a trip that should have only taken maybe 30 minutes, and they haven't called. We find that they've driven somewhere else. They've gotten lost or disoriented. I remember a time in my childhood. I was at the shopping mall with my grandmother. I'd been to the mall a number of times. It was a very familiar place to me. And one particular time, they had a petting zoo in the midst of the mall. And we had stopped there to look at the animals, and I was fascinated. They had a baby elephant, and they had a couple other animals that intrigued me. And I was so absorbed by those things that I had not paid attention to the fact that my grandmother had left and gone on to another store to continue her shopping. It really didn't occur to me that I was lost as I was looking at those animals and as I was walking around in the familiarness of the mall until probably 10 or 15 minutes and I hadn't encountered my grandmother. Then I sort of began to think, I'm lost. She apparently thought I was following behind her. And when we both came to the realization that someone was lost, we became panicked. Now, as a child, I came to the realization that I was lost. As an adult, I might have said, well, Grandma got lost. I knew exactly where I was. She was somewhere else where she wasn't supposed to be. She came and she found me. As an adult, I might have said, I found her. But I'm sure when we got home, there was the story told that Kevin got lost, and I don't think that I got punished or anything, but I was told very sternly to remember to stick close by. It's a sad place, the lost and found, and yet talk about rejoicing in the lost and found department. Jesus is talking with some sinners and tax collectors. They're gathering around to listen to him. They're misfit. They're lost. They're wayward. And Jesus is speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And the righteous, the Pharisees and the scribes, are grumbling and saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus says, "Which of you, if you lost a sheep, wouldn't go and search for that one sheep, leaving the rest behind?" Seeking out, doing whatever it took to find that lost sheep. And when you found it, wouldn't carry it across your shoulder rejoicing because you had found your lost sheep. I'm sure that while my grandmother was reprimanding me in the mall after she apprehended me, there was a sense of joy and relief that she had found me. It wouldn't have been too bad if she'd carried me over her shoulder. But nonetheless, there was the rejoicing. "For which of you, if you lost a coin, wouldn't light a lamp and sweep and search until you found it? And when you found it, call your friends and neighbors together and say, 'Be happy with me. Rejoice, I found what is lost.'" And in each instance, our Lord says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who do not need to repent. Or the angels of God are made happy over one sinner who repents. Sometimes you and I can have the mindset that we're found and everybody else is lost, when in reality we ourselves may be lost in very familiar settings. It becomes very easy for us to become righteous, self-righteous, and forget that there are those who are truly lost. We can become very comfortable catering to one another and neglecting the lost, even the lost within our own midst. I suppose that whenever I forget the need to be repentant, that I've become lost. Because repentance isn't just a one-time event. I don't need to repent once in my life and then everything is taken care of, but somehow now I'm saved, I'm found, I'm rescued. But that daily I need to repent. And not just one time a day, but manifold times a day. Because when I repent, I turn my back on myself, upon the world, upon the devil. And I have to do that manifold times a day, because there are manifold times a day that I'm turning to myself, turning to the world, following the lure of the devil rather than relying upon God, relying upon the promises that are made mine in Jesus Christ, relying upon all that he's done through his life, his death, his suffering, his resurrection, to bring me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I forget that, when I forget that I need to rely upon Jesus Christ, when I forget that God has sought me out, when I forget that God wants me now to live my life as his child and not a child of the world, then I've become lost. Lost in my selfishness, lost in my sinfulness, lost in the worldliness that surrounds me. And I have to turn my back on that. We can read this parable and we can say, well, Jesus rejoices when somebody's lost becomes saved. And there's rejoicing in heaven. And there is. Otherwise, our Lord wouldn't have told us that. But there's also rejoicing when each and every one of us, who already know that we've been lost, and by God's grace have come to the realization that we've been found, also come to the realization that day by day, many times, we need to repent. We need to turn back to God. Because it's only when we continue to return to God and turn toward God that we truly are found, aren't we? After that incident in the mall, I learned to be keeping my eye on where my grandmother was. I learned to keep close to where my grandmother was. In a similar sense, I need, as well as you need, to keep your eye on Jesus. You need to keep your eye on where he is going and where he is leading. And you need to keep yourself close by his side. Our Christian education, whether it be of adults or of children, whether it be in Bible class, you're at church or in people's homes, or when we gather in the sanctuary and hear God's word, is always to guide and direct our eyes to Jesus and keep us close to him, that we may go where he is leading us, leading us to everlasting life. And there is rejoicing in the lost and found department, not over what is lost, but over what is found. God assures us in the scriptures that he rejoices over us with singing. That he rejoices when the one who is lost is found. And much more than that, the scriptures show us the great commitment, the great length to which our Lord Jesus will go to seek and to find the lost, that they might be found. It goes beyond much more than sitting and eating with them. It goes also to the point of going to the cross, enduring its shame for the joy that would be set before him, the joy of knowing that by his death, by his life, by his suffering, by his resurrection, sinners who are lost would be found and have forgiveness and life and salvation. For that joy in and of itself, he could set aside all of heaven and endure the cross and its shame for you and for me. Who are the lost, and where are they today? They're all around us. Sometimes they're very close to us. Sometimes they're very near to us, in our homes, in our families, even within our own congregation. And we need to be committed to seek them out, to engage them, to bring them into fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, working through his word and the power of his Holy Spirit that work in us and through us to do more than we could ever imagine or ask, to God's glory. Sometimes we need to be sure of our own direction before I can give directions to anyone else. MapQuest doesn't always give reliable directions. When I first came here, I went on MapQuest to find the address and how to get to the Hendricksons and Florence Helke. And you know what it told me? It told me to go out South Park Road to 64th Street and to go north on 64th Street. You know where I would end up if I were to go north on 64th Street? I would be somewhere in the middle of Lake Wasicha. Now, some of the members tell me at one time in the past there was a road and a bridge that sort of went across there but had been removed. But MapQuest was still showing it. And if I had said, well, by gosh, MapQuest is as reliable as I can get, and it says I'm supposed to go that way, and I did it, I'd be in big trouble, wouldn't I? And our world is full of philosophies and spiritualities and directions that claim to get us where we want to go. But the only true source, the only true direction, is in God's word. And it is the word himself, Jesus Christ, who has already gone before us and shown us the way and has laid before us the path of life and journeys with it. So whether we're young or old, whether we think we're found or whether we know we're lost, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the beginner and ender of our faith. And let us stand beside him and walk beside him until he brings us safely to our eternal destination. For there is joy and rejoicing eternally. And in our lives as we turn in repentance, may we be mindful that the angels rejoice over us in our repentance rather than mourning over our self-righteousness and our lostness. And also, as we journey, may God give us the commitment and the zeal to seek those who are lost along our life's way, that we may give them the direction that their life needs as we bring them closer to the Lord Jesus. May they see Him in us. May they hear Him in our words. May they seek Him in us as we find ourselves perhaps sitting and eating with sinners and tax collectors of our own day. May God grant to us that blessing for our soul's comfort, for the comfort of those who are already lost, and for the joy in the lost and found department. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.